Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton. Along with me, as always, is the implementer of intense intervals, Bethany McChesney. I thought that was a good one. That was all right. I didn't mind that one.
Kind of what I do for a living.
Exactly. Exactly. It's all there.
Extremely simplified what I
That's
do
right.
for a living.
Brought to you by Duonamic, maker of crazy door frame pull-up thingies and other assorted implements, as well as Aerolux and Athletic Brew, which I'm having a there's the lighting on the Athletic Brew light. All right. Before we get into all sorts of other stuff we're going to talk about, we're going to do sad news first. And Beth, you address the sad news because I'm not a sad news guy.
Yeah. So anyone who follows the running scene, and I don't even think you have to necessarily be a running fan to be affected by this one, but Kelvin Kiptum, who is our current marathon world record holder, died in a car accident on the weekend. He's 24 years old. So Kelvin was making waves. He, in his third marathon, he set the world record. He's only 35 seconds away from going sub 2 hours. And he did that at the Chicago Marathon, and he was the future of marathoning. He had the fastest debut marathon ever in history, and one of only two guys to go sub 201. And I mean, obviously, we're talking about legitimate courses, not the sub 2 breaking 2 project with Eliud Kipchoge. But it's so. From everything that we know, which is very little, he was in a car accident with his coach. He was driving and he lost control of his vehicle and he hit a car. He was in Kenya when it happened. Super obviously devastating to like the world in general. And but Kelvin was definitely one of these people who was going to be, we was talked about so much, you know, potentially the first human to ever break 2 hours legitimately, so young to be running such fast times. And it's so weird, but I was actually thinking about him last week, because the thing that I found really striking about him was he was one of these people who is always playing with that line to see how much is too much. Mm. And so he very famously has been in a bit of, from what my understanding, just from articles, a bit of conflict with his coach, because he was always pushing the boundaries of mileage. And he, when he was releasing his training logs leading into the Chicago Marathon, he was averaging 300 kilometers a week, and which was, I mean, it's a lot, but he never really had drop down weeks, and he was really just trying to see what the line is that the human body can actually maintain. And and it was even a little bit against his coach's wishes, who was kind of, you know, you're too young to be hitting this mileage, and he wanted to just push and push and push. And I mean, it was paying off for him. And I was thinking last week, because there's always this in hybrid racing world too, where, you know, we're playing with these lines, how much can the body handle? And Kelvin was someone who was trying to really push that line. And I was thinking about last week, the Icarus paradigm, which you probably know this, but you've heard it in mythology, where Icarus was the one who, he was warned by his father, don't fly too close to the sun, and don't fly too close to the sea. So you fly too close to the sun, you'll get burned up. And I was thinking about Kelvin too, where I was like, is he going to fly too close to the sun when it came to his training? And is he going to hit a breaking point, or is he really going to be that guy who is, you know, our first sub 2 hour marathon? And I mean, this is not the outcome of flying too close to the sun that we wanted, or that anyone could have ever imagined for Kelvin. But yeah, so this is the quote, this is the Icarus quote from that myth. And I looked it up today, because I was just, it was so crazy that this all happened the way it did this weekend. But, and this is what he did. So again, you're risking flying too close to the sun. So the quote is, never regret thy fall, O Icarus of the fearless flight, for the greatest tragedy of them all is never to feel The Burning Light. And Oscar Wilde was the poet who wrote that quote. But yeah, so Kelvin was definitely risking flying too close to the light. And I was also reminded of with Kelvin's death, this was probably before your time when you were paying close attention to the running world also, but when I was growing up, Emily Mondor was one of my idols, and she also died in a tragic car accident when she was 25. And at that point, so what year was that? I double checked my, so she died in 2006, so kind of when I was like all immersed in the running world. And she was at that point the winningest 5,000 meter runner in North America. She'd been to the Olympic Games. She was our first Canadian to run a sub 15 minute 5,000 meter. And same thing, she left a training session and lost control of her vehicle while trying to pass two cars on the road just outside of Ottawa. And she died in a car accident as well. So she was again going to be, our next. She already was our, star in Canadian distance running and was going to kind of take, at that point, women's Canadian running in Canada was starting to kind of slowly start to see its upswing. We were kind of going to fall on Emily's lead there. And yeah, so also a really tragic story there too, but it was so paralleled with what happened with Kelvin too. So I just was thinking about Emily and what happened to her as well. So too young, and she was also someone who really pushed the boundaries of training really young. And I used to hear about some like epic training runs that she used to do, followed by hours long of hikes after to kind of bump up her aerobic system. And yeah, just the parallels in their stories. So if anyone remembers back in the day, Emily Mondor, so another tragic ending, life too short of someone with just unsurmountable amounts of talent.
So two things jump out at me. The first one being, like, we obviously all, this is news for us, but he must have been a Kenyan hero right now. And just how that must hit there. Like, I can't imagine that's like, because I mean, he's marathon to them is to Ken and Kenya is massive, right? Like, that's their thing. That's what they do. And he being at this point now the best ever. That's like a Wayne Gretzky death there, like, but that's crazy how much. And then 300 kilometers a week, isn't, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't like 100 miles kind of a week kind of that marathoner distance, which is about half of that?
So I would say at the elite level, the average elite marathoner, at least on the female side, would be around that 100 miles. So 160K, 200K for the more high mileage people. 300 is just kind of blows my mind. But yeah.
Unbelievable, like that. I'm just trying to think of the time per day because they're not all going to be fast, right? Because doing the Kenyans, they do a lot of slow running too, don't they?
Super slow. And that's
Super
also,
slow.
yeah, there's a saying about slow, what is it? Slowly, slowly. I forget, but I don't know. But it was about, yeah, they do run their easy mileage super, super slow. So it's not all fast, but I think some of it though is a little bit unfathomably fast as well. So his 45 kilometer long run is probably a lot less time on his feet than the average person
Yeah. I mean,
though.
like, yeah, I'm sure, like, for him, it's probably like, even at an easier pace, like 2.5 hours, as opposed to someone like
Like
me.
a 330 could potentially be his like steady state.
Yeah, exactly. As opposed to someone like me who's going to be closer to four,
More or
for,
less.
yeah. So I was like, wow, that's amazing. So, yeah, that's our sad news to start. Well, actually,
Super.
it's probably not the only sad news we got, but anyway, that's the real sad news, in perspective. Should we go to Spartan?
Also sad news.
Also sad. Man, we trying. I really am. I'm excited about the Canadian series and some of the name. I hear Sam's going. I hear Brendan Neely's probably going to go. I mean, so we'll get to, this was not intended to talk to. I'm just trying to put out something positive for Spartan here. I'm doing what I can. All right, so one thing that's really kind of silly, Spartans sent out their season pass gear, and apparently the t-shirts were all printed backwards.
What do you mean? What was printed backwards?
Like the lettering and everything was reverse, was all backwards, like a mirror image. And I don't know, nobody caught it. Did they not inspect them? Did they come straight from the distributor to the people? But yeah, I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know how that, and it went to all of them, like all the season pass holders, not just like one guy. Like, how does that one slip through the cracks? I don't know.
Oh.
So I'm not gonna, we spent a lot of time there just,
Well, hopefully they right that ship
Yeah, but that's a
and reset
costly
it.
fuck up too, though, right? Like, because if they're gonna have to replace all their shirts and send the proper ones, and because I mean, season pass holders, they pay a lot of money, they deserve their swag,
So why waste all the money sending them out?
Well, that's what I mean. Did they? That's why I thought maybe they just came, went right from a distributor. I don't know that that's commonplace. I've never seen that, but
Yeah.
it's the only thing I can think of. But I think Spartan, you'd have to unpack stuff and put the different swag into kits and send them individually to each person. And I think that, I don't know how many people buy seasons passes, but let's say 1,000.
Yeah.
You would have thought someone would have caught it along the way.
I know.
I know people in Spartan do many jobs,
So are we talking season pass holders across North America?
I have no idea how many season pass holders there are. I'm just throwing it out
Oh,
there, but
so
I know there's
you're not saying just Canada.
no, it's everywhere.
Oh.
Yeah, and to be honest, actually, I shouldn't say I know it's in the States. Maybe it's not in Canada or elsewhere, but I do know what happened in the States, and I know there's a good chunk of season pass holders in the States. It because
Yeah.
if you race a lot of Spartans, it's a good deal,
It
right?
is, yeah.
Yeah, like if you're gonna do a couple of trifectas or something like that, it's probably worth it. So I don't know. It's just like, yeah, how'd that one get by? Probably because too many people are doing too many jobs. Yeah. So then the other Spartan news, and this is actually the big one, is Spartan lets go of Steve Hammond, Trailmaster Hammond. He's the guy who laid out all the crazy courses and had us bushwhacking through the woods and running through muck and water and whatever else he could think of. Garfield Griffiths, who was the race director, probably I think their most senior race director, who had recently also said he wanted to do less.
Travel less specifically.
Yeah, specifically so he could spend some more time with his family, which is understandable because I think that guy was on the road nonstop. And to put it bluntly, so Spartan solution is bye.
Yeah.
And then Gabe, sorry, I don't have Gabe's last name, but he was in charge of mostly dealing with volunteers and ambassadors and stuff like that. That seems to be his job title. I'll be perfectly honest, mixed reviews on that one. So I won't delve too much in that because I don't have any firsthand experience with Gabe whatsoever. So I give him the benefit of the doubt. But the Hammond and Garfield, those are not just surprising, but they're massive.
Yeah.
I mean, like those would probably be the two most visible
Names.
high level employees and names in Spartan, aside from Joe himself. Right? Like
Yeah.
they're always out there. Hammond is he was, like I said, not just laying out the courses, but he was the liaison between the elite athletes and whatnot, and well loved by the elite athletes, well respected too, a hell of an athlete. He was also the rabbit a ton of times. Like he did everything. And Garfield was, like I said, the main race director. He's a guy who's been race director for tons of companies. But these would be like two linchpin guys.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but I was just stunned.
Yeah. I well, and I haven't heard anything from Steve Hammond or any explanation. And the thing that's so striking to me is these jobs that they have. Course design, race directing. As much as we've all been a part of the community and we partake in the races, organizing them and designing them is a much more complex and difficult job than I think sometimes people really do give it credit. And like Steve Hammond would be one of the best course designers I think that
Oh,
I've
yeah.
ever seen too. And the thought and the processes that go into what they do is world class. So letting them go, I'm just, who are these jobs falling onto? And that's where I don't understand the thought process here with Spartan, and who are we replacing Steve Hammond with, and what he does and what he contributes to the Spartan community. And again, so well liked. And I think at a time when I feel like Spartan's at a bit of a turning point, to let someone like that go, I'm a little bit shocked at what they're thinking here.
If you've ever wondered how hard it is, just go out in the woods and try to make a 5K trail. Good luck.
Make 1K for
It's not easy. It is really freaking hard. And then make that trail thinking, I need to filter 7,000 people through this trail. And then make that trail filtering 7,000 people through thinking, I need to build 20 obstacles on this trail. Good fucking luck. It is really hard. I mean, I've helped out with the build crew and I've been on that side of it. I've seen it and I've seen what these guys do, and it is bloody incredible. Right? We critique often, but we never ever say that these guys are not busting their asses. And the some of the best people, probably the best people qualified for the job. And if you don't really know what a race director does, they don't just sit in the office and talk to people and kind of say, oh, you go over here and you go over here. No, man, they are there for months. They're checking out grounds. They're dealing with local community politicians, with businesses, with oh God, getting permitry, getting sales, getting sponsors, setting everything up. It is not. Then they're dealing with the rules and regulations and race difficulties and organizing all the
And all
build
the day
crew.
of stuff.
The day of is actually the easier day for them most times. It's all that stuff going up to that. And you think of the amount of times that me or you or somebody has a question for the race director, and I mean, we'll use Bear as an example up here, and how accommodating they are when we're asking that. There's probably another 300 to 400 people doing the exact same thing, demanding the exact same amount of time, and dealing with all that. I don't want to say thankless job, because people obviously appreciate it, but I don't think they know what goes into it. And I'm with you. I don't know who the hell they're going to get to replace one of these guys, much less both.
And what, how many people too? Because they've been in this a while too, and they've kind of perfected their craft. So we also don't always comprehend the amount of things that they do juggle, and it's not always a one man, one woman person, one job when someone steps in to take it over who doesn't have that experience with them. So I don't feel like Spartan let one of them go to hire two more.
No, in experience, it's usually quite the opposite, where they'll take someone else who's already doing another job and put it on to them, including their current job.
Like, who are you're just going to take someone else and be like, oh, just throw up some tape and make sure it's about 21K.
I have no idea. I don't like
Like, I'm just.
of some of the moves that Spartan's been making in the past. This one is one of the most puzzling to me. Could there be inter-office politics and issues and maybe personality conflicts? Maybe. I mean, I don't know these suit guys super well. Maybe they were a problem. Maybe they were complaints. Maybe they had a problem with management. Maybe there was conflict and there was no other way to resolve it. I don't know. But I do know that there's a glaring hole, two glaring holes, maybe three. Again, sorry, Gabe, don't know you. That they got to figure out a way to deal with. And they got to figure out a way to do. And sorry, but shit's just about to get underway. This is bad timing. Like, we're not too far off Jacksonville for the North America, for the US series and stuff like that. And
Well, and that's the other part of this whole situation that I question right now too, is if you're going to restructure your organization, why didn't you do it at the end of the last season? Why are we doing it now, weeks before the beginning of the next season? So were they involved in the, did they get just enough out of them? And then we're gonna let them go right before things actually go. So, you've already kind of planned everything, and then you've done your job up to this point. Okay, we'll take over from here.
I can't. I mean, I guess I could see some part of that with Garfield, because again, like I say, establish your perimetry, general course facility, stuff like that, and all the logistics. He can do that ahead of time. But Hammond, for laying out a course, you might have a general idea you drew on a piece of paper over like a topographical map. But until the boots are on the ground, like that just doesn't work. So I don't know. I think it's a big loss. I think it's a big problem. And wow, I hope that we aren't the people who pay the price for it. And I do hope very much. And I have reached out and say, I hope that they all land on their feet and hopefully, hey, maybe go get together and give us another race because we could use other races to go to. So, yeah, hopefully that's the case. So yeah, that's the Spartan news. Yay. Couple of good decas coming up. I'm doing my best.
That was a really good sandwiching strategy. So all
Thanks.
the positive, we get all the negative, and then we sandwich it at the end with a positive. Good
I
job.
think that's what people will take away from this. Oh, man. I don't know. Doing our best. I don't know what to say. All right. So let's talk a little Hyrox. First off, a couple of people asked me, do we have a Hyrox discount code? No, we do not yet. Yes, we are planning to be getting one. So hang tight. My advice to you is go now because you can pre-register. Pre-register does not cost anything. You just sign up pre-reg, and then they'll send you an email when the regular registration is open. Blah, blah, blah. So I would say do that, and I believe that saves your spot. So do that. Pre-reg, and then hopefully we will get that discount code and we can help you out with that. People asking again, like location, the Encare Center. The Encare Center is actually down in the CNE area, down there by where Old Ontario Place used to be, the Honda Indy in that location. So not quite as close to the CN Tower as maybe Jay had kind of made you think from here. But still, I mean, you can see it from there, that's for sure. And it's not super far away, but yeah, it's kind of where the CNE grounds is. So there was that for that question. And so we want to talk first about, let's go with Hyrox Austria results. All right. So results, do you want to do the one? Do you have the
Okay.
one?
I have the women.
All
We can start with the women. It's less controversial.
right.
yeah, big news in the women's race. And if you watched it live, it was a runaway game for Lauren Weeks. Man, she looked so strong. Her running was the best I've ever seen it. Like, she did not take a hit from the stations. She was on point, everything, and it. She ended up world record 58.03, so close to being the first female sub 58. And man, I have to say too, the coverage of this was so good. And one of the things that I loved also with the coverage was they were so on with all of the splits. So the thing that was interesting to watch was they were always saying also how much further ahead she was. On the world record time. So we kind of always knew that that was in sight. And then how much time she was gaining each station on the rest of the field.
I
And it
think
was
a
just
lot
really
of that was due to Greg from Rocks Life, who was really good with stats. He's like a high rocks Jack Bauer, and he did a great job on that.
Oh, that was so good. That just made the race that much better too. Because especially if you don't really understand what's going on, the coverage was so good. Also, like if you don't know even Hyrox that well, all of the icons with knowing where they are in the race, what's coming next, it was so well done. So yeah, Lauren ran away with the field, and then 58.03, we have Meg Jacoby coming after in 1 hour, 26 seconds, Linda Meyer finishing off the podium in a 102.04. Great race for Linda. She's also really coming back into form. And then Viola Overlander, 102.33.
Big
Awesome job,
Viola fan.
Viola. Yeah, she's been around the Hyrox scene a long time and also has dealt with some injuries. So she's also on her comeback game. Vivian Tafuto.
Even a bigger Vivian Tafuto fan.
Yes, and this race here with between Linda, Viola, and Vivian was definitely the tightest race. And again, a 102.41. So they were all super close. And the three of them were lined up doing wall balls together. And then Michaela Norman, who made a big comeback in the later stages of the race, as she does, 103.52. Chris Roglosky in seventh, 104. I think, I don't, if it's a PB, it's like 3 seconds. I'm not sure.
I
It's
think it's pretty
close.
close.
Yeah. Alina will now. Kate Davey, Jezebel Kramer, Zara Pierogiani, Jennifer Nicholas, Miriam Von Rohr, Camila Massa in 14th, and then Lauren Griffith in that 15th spot. However, she did actually faint at one point going into the wall balls, refused to be taken off the course, and then finished with 100 wall balls unbroken, I believe, in one of the fastest wall ball times of the day, and rounded out the top 15.
And looked in such good spirits too. Like when she crossed the finish line, she just looked like she was so happy. You know,
Yeah.
she's a character. She's a good character and she's good for the
Yes.
sport. And she is great. I mean, that was not the race I expected out of her, but obviously there was some kind of issues, whether she
Yeah, so she
overcooked it.
was in that mix with Linda Viola and Vivian for most of the race as well. So
I haven't
something
seen a
to expect.
comment. Did she just overcook it or was she unwell or have you heard anything?
I've heard nothing. I don't
No.
really know for sure. It could have been I mean, she could have been extremely hypoglycemic. I don't really know. I've heard nothing, but
But before we go on too much further, actually, so let's stick with the Laurens. And then the next day, they came back and set the record for the women's pro doubles.
yeah.
So, you know, a bit of a up and down weekend for her, but I'm sure she's pretty happy with that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming it was kind of a glucose thing or something, and kind of, maybe got dizzy and something happened there, but she obviously figured it out for the next day. The crazy thing to me about the doubles record is it's only like 2 minutes faster than Lauren Weeks does by herself.
Yeah.
So it just shows you how amazing Lauren Weeks' time really is. And Lauren Griffith is also a phenomenal runner. But I just, yeah, Lauren Weeks is just looking incredibly strong right now.
So the, I mean, obviously back and forth, Lauren Meg, Lauren Meg, Lauren Meg, right? And just when one starts to establish dominance and you think, okay, she's taken that step and is now starting to separate, then boom, the other one jumps up. Because I mean, Lauren had, you know, she won the world championship. She was winning a lot of these multi-event games and stuff, and she was taking the lead. And then all of a sudden Meg kicked it up a notch and she set another world record. She beat Lauren twice at majors and she was rolling into this one looking dominant. And then
Yeah.
all of a sudden, now Lauren says, nope. It's my turn, and I'm going to set the new world record, and I'm going to blow you out of the water. And it's
Yeah.
just like.
The thing that always it seems so crazy to me between these two women is we've rarely ever had a tight race with both of them. It's like when one is on, the other one is not with them. So it's there's always a divide. Like, one kind of just takes off with it, and the other one doesn't necessarily respond. So it's really interesting that way.
And by the way, off still means second place.
Right off, she was, yeah, 20. Yeah, it's still a
Off.
very good race,
Yeah.
but you know they're not like finishing within
Yeah.
seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Lauren, it's just so endearing. She's just one of the most humble people I've ever met, and we were chatting just briefly after the race, and her post-race interview, which again, this is why we love Lauren. And they were like, what was it about this race? And where is your head at? And she said it was just really hard to leave her daughter, and so she was going to make it worth the her while. And that was kind of her mindset the whole time. And that was also when we were chatting after, she was like, she started to do this, and I just don't want to miss anything. And it was really hard for her. She's never cried so hard leaving her daughter. And it's, if you want to talk about fuel for the fire, and that's kind of what she used to push herself. And yeah, so it was really sweet. And yeah, it was hard for her too. She was gone for a little bit longer than she would too, but then, might as well get another world record out of it on day two and then go
Yeah.
home to her. So
Yeah, and again, I saw she was picked up at the airport again with Anthony as his suit and a little
yeah.
all dressed up in her nice dress. So that's, I guess that's a family tradition.
Yeah.
Things that from the women's field that surprised me. I wouldn't want to say this surprised me. More, I was pleased to see this one was Vivian coming back from having COVID, missing out on Deka and coming back and looking so strong.
Yes, she
Like
did.
putting in a great race effort, looking so strong. I mean, still looking like she improved from the last time and just running well, right? Like, 'cause that's where she, so it was great to see. And I mean, again, big fan of Vivian. Surprise again, Viola kind of reasserting herself.
Yeah, so Viola used to be top of the top in the high rocks world for women, and she dealt a little bit with some injuries and some overtraining issues. And then she, the crazy thing too was she was actually hit by a car on Wednesday while riding her bike and didn't even know if she would race, and then thought she would shoot her shot and came up in fourth place. So she's definitely reestablishing herself. She's put in a lot of work, she said lately, just trying to get back to form. So we're seeing it. And specifically focusing on the running, because that wasn't her background before. But I mean, the higher ups world, as we can see, is just you have to be such an incredible runner now to be in that top game.
And those two women as well, Viola and Vivian, both now qualified with they'd locked in their spots for Worlds. So they're both qualified for Worlds. They're good to go there. So that's exciting. And those spots are becoming fewer and fewer available.
Yes.
And
So who would you say would be would be the people that you thought would be higher that weren't?
Camilla Massa. I don't know exactly what happened with her, but she definitely had an off day. She's been someone that's been on the rise. So I expected again to for her to continue that momentum, and it kind of went off a cliff for her. I'm not sure exactly why, but you could see her after the race just kind of visibly distraught and not obviously not pleased with her effort, and Meg trying to comfort her. And it just maybe it just wasn't her day. Maybe something went wrong with travel, but normally she should travel very well. She's used to coming over to Italy to race. So I don't know what happened there, but that one was a bit of a surprise for me. I would think on that side, I would have expected Camilla to contend for that top five spot. And that just didn't happen that day. So that would have been mine. Do you got a different one or?
Well, I was hoping that I would see Miriam Van Roer also up in there as well. Obviously, with her running would have been the biggest thing that I would have been working on if I was her. And she wasn't really in the mix there. And we know she's been a top contender in the past also, and made huge comebacks in the later stages of the race. And we didn't really see that from Miriam. So I was thinking she might be a little bit more up there.
Ready for my hot take?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Hyrox is passing Miriam by.
Yeah, you just can't get away with the fully strength-based athlete.
I don't think that in not that I don't think it's within her realm of ability, but I don't think she's willing to give up enough of her CrossFit style competitions and backgrounds where she does very well there to commit to that much running training. And even though she's very young, I just think that unless she was to commit wholeheartedly and like really buckle down on her running, I just don't see it. I just don't see it for her, which is sad because I really enjoy watching her. Nobody's more entertaining on the wall balls. She seems like a great person, a good personality, and I like seeing a short powerhouse in there. That's my world. I love that. But I just think that it's passed her by.
Well, and I've never seen someone do weighted lunges so fast,
Oh yeah, she goes through them.
like unaffected.
Yeah, and runs so like that's one of her best runs is the one after lunges when everybody else dies off, and then that's where she can actually go, and then run right into the wall balls and do so well there. So it's yeah, that's what I see on that one. Sadly, it's not a hot take I like, but it's one that I think is gonna happen. I don't see her making it to Worlds this year.
No.
And that's disappointing. And then the other person I'm worried about making it to Worlds is Christopher Glossy.
Yeah.
And not because she's not capable, but again, because of the system. So now she's down to what did we say, 19th?
I think
So she
so.
might not even get a shot at DC. She might have to wait for a last chance qualifier. And it's getting more and more difficult for her, which is a shame because I think that she's rounding into form for it.
And she's actually been focusing on it, which is good.
She's looking like a better Hyrox athlete each time, at least from the way I see it. So it is that one I
And
worry
still
about.
consistently running a low 104, which, our last two races have been low 104. And, thinking even a year or two ago, and now she's not even making
I don't know off the top of my
the
head.
top
What
15.
do you think she won the world championships with? It probably wasn't the
Like a
104.
106? I don't
Yeah.
know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. And so it's tough. So, but again, I've gone on too many times about the system and I like, and I'd rather see them race their way in, but whatever. Should we go to the men? All
Okay.
right. Do you got their results up or? All
Yep.
right.
Okay. And we'll save the drama for after. But we
Yeah. Yeah.
have Alexander Ronkovich with 54:28, and then Paleo Fernandez, 57:13. Tim Minich rounding out the podium, just right behind Paleo. And then Thomas Berdych, Graham Holliday in fifth, Bo Wills in sixth, Tobias Lohtwein in seventh. Lucas Storath, who was in that top group for a while also. James Kelly in ninth, Jeffrey Voisin in 10th, Dave Makita 11th, Ryan Kent 12th, Rich Ryan 13th, and they were all finishing. Well, Rich Ryan and Ryan Kent finished at the exact same time.
Yeah, they kind of got to the wall balls and said, let's just finish together kind of deal. It was
Yeah.
not a
They
good day.
joined up before there. Maybe it was lunches, but they had noticeably agreed to finish together. And
Wasn't
we
a
had
great
a couple of DNFs.
Yeah, it wasn't a great day for the RMR training team. But, they had a great day in Chicago. So,
Seems.
and well, for Meg, second's not great. I guarantee you she was disappointed with that second. But so first thing, probably easily the most fan favorite win of all time, Alex Ronkovich, with one of the most entered
Hometown hero.
One of the most entertaining runs ever. Like waving and high-fiving and propping and saluting and having conversations with people. Like, I don't think he was aware he was racing. He was just having such a good time. Yeah, like it was, he looked like he was in a parade. Like, it was his
Well,
day.
I think when he knew the world record was out of reach and he was likely securing the win anyways, I think he just decided to have fun with it, which is awesome. And it was his hometown, so he obviously had he was a huge fan favorite.
Well, coming off of burpee broad jumps, it was all of a sudden the Alex Ronkovich show. He was just all of a sudden, it's like, I'm gonna go and have a good time now. And just that running form, it just looks like he is loping everywhere and just, but he's moving. He is hauling. He must have like a 70 cadence and just bounding along. Like, but wow, he can run. He can run. I think back to all the doubt that we had when the VCF was on about his 3K, and I'm still doubtful about that one, something went wrong. But maybe he was actually capable of that speed. Who knows? No, he wasn't. Anyway, but yeah, so that was a big one. Paleo. Paleo.
Paleo.
Paleo, not paleo. Very different. Yeah. Big day for him. I think easily his biggest finish, his big win, get earning his qualification spot, and another guy who is really, you can't help but root for.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw the beginning, but he actually got knocked down off the start line
Yes, smashed.
and got trampled and then just popped right back up and got himself into the mix again in the run. I
Did
don't know how it feels.
that's what Brian just said. Did you have DECA flashbacks?
Yeah, I did. I was like, oh man, poor guy, that hurts so bad.
So yeah, he's the guy you can't help but root for. Tim Vinich again has been waiting for a good another breakout run. Like he's a guy that I'll be honest that I have I don't want to say underestimated, but I've been like, okay, he needs to, he's got all this potential. He needs to start fulfilling it, and he looked very good on that day. So good for him. I guess the other big story to start at the Americans. Rough day for the Americans. Coming at the
Yeah,
back of that.
so Dave Magida again is still battling with these back issues, and that was pretty clear, I guess, early on that he was struggling, and it sounded like Ryan Kent was also having some back issues. And I think it was during the burpee broad jumps when he had to walk it off a couple times. And he was in the mix for up until about that point. Yeah, so both kind of battling their stuff. And there was some travel going over there too, which you always don't know for sure how it's going to affect you as much as you try to control all the variables, and maybe some of the travel affected their backs, so I'm not sure.
Well, a lot of sitting, a lot of sitting in airplanes and whatnot, and travel. You're just sitting motionless, not being able to move around. These are guys that are not stationary very often. And then, of course, Ryan Kent recently lost his father. He's been traveling all around with his family, all around the states, back and forth, because he lives in Colorado. His family's back east, dealing with that. And I mean, when you lose a parent as an adult, in the kid, and I've been on both sides of it. It can hit you want to be like it can somehow motivate you and make you better, or it can just be a weight on you. Like I attribute it to it. It can be like a balloon, or it can be like a boat anchor, and you don't know, and you can't really predict, especially that recently, what it's going to do to you. And I mean, I'm sure he tried to use it for motivation and tried. But it's just not like that. It doesn't always work that way. And we know Ryan is a very much a hard on his sleeve, emotion kind of guy. And I think that just between the back pain and that, it just all hit him too hard. And like, to be honest, I give him full marks that he finished the race, because he very easily could have just said, you know what, he could have called it before he went. And then when he started to have back pain, he could have walked off. And even then, I'm sure, his head started to get it out of there, he could have walked off again. And nobody would have blamed him. Nobody would have questioned him. Nobody would have had anything but sympathy for him and understanding. But he didn't. He's finished. And especially, he knew he was going to have a shit finish. He knew it wasn't going to be any good, but he did it anyway, because he didn't want to be a quitter. And so my hat goes off to Ryan Kent. Good for, we feel for you, and we support you, and there'll be other days. Are you trying to say something?
Guy talking to on the post, he said no, he did the road.
Okay, we'll get to that.
He just responded.
We'll get to that. Yeah, and then Rich just had a bad day. I have no idea what happened to Rich. He
Yeah,
just
I don't
didn't have a
know
good day.
either.
Rich, I'm sorry, I can't give you as much support. You had a bad day, but he is definitely a better racer than what he showed that day. So
And it's
hopefully,
still, I mean, a bad day. He was still a 101.11, so.
exactly. So hopefully he can come back in DC and maybe get a shot at making one of those world spots. And same with Ryan Kent and Dave Megina. So, not a great day for the Americans. Anyway, so what else do we got here, just to make sure before we get into the main course? All right, you ready? All right. So, big issue that happened is races going along famously, really good race, like Bess said, supremely good coverage. And then they get to the rowers, the men, they get to the rowers. And Alex is in the lead, got a fairly decent lead, gets there, sits down on the rower, starts pulling. Nothing's happening. Jumps off, confusion everywhere. Nobody seems to know what's going on. I'm screaming at the TV, jump on another goddamn rower. Well, I might have said fucking rower, whatever. Anyway, I'm screaming at the TV.
And Sandy was pretty close behind him. Sandbox was
Yes.
right there too.
It
Jumped on a
was
roar right beside him. Same
same
issue.
thing, same issue. And I don't know about you, but when I'm watching, I'm like, how can all the rowers be broken?
I
This
know.
makes no sense to me. Like, they don't run on electricity. Like, they run on electricity, they run on batteries, and you don't plug them
Well,
in.
and so like this has happened in my gym before, and I sm it's like the batteries pop out of place, and then I smack the back, and the bot batteries go back into place, and then it's good. Why did nobody smack the screen?
And
You can fix a lot of things.
but that's on one rower, right? This is on one rower. There's like
No, that was,
20,
and
30
that
of
was
them.
not the problem with these
No,
rowers.
no. And
I'm
they're
just,
and the,
I'm making complete light of it,
yeah,
but
and they're all out of whack, and that's what I couldn't figure out at the beginning. Like, that's not how these work. This is wrong. If there were treadmills, I would have got it, because they're all plugged in, and then maybe the power goes down, and then all the power's dead. I get that, but that's not how these work. So I couldn't figure that out at first.
So these rowers were all connected together. So you could actually see where like the other lanes were at on your rower. And then from the commentator standpoint, they could see. And that's what was projected up onto the screen where each of the people were at. So whatever happened with the system, all these rowers were connected and they were all dead.
So my understanding is that after the use, they need to you need to hit the reset, like on the master reset where they're all linked, and that somebody did not reset them.
Oh.
That's where the problem lies. That's what I've been told. I cannot say that it's 100% fact, but it does make some sense. Because you
Okay.
do know that for everyone else, every time you use the rower, if you want it, you have to reset it. Otherwise, it doesn't work like that. So it does make sense that that could be the way it was since they were all linked together. So upon that, there becomes immediate panic. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Where do we go? What do we do? And not just by the athletes, but by the judges and by the organizers. Like, what do we do? So very quickly, they figure out to, because these were the rowers for the Elite 15. So very quickly, they figure out
The grid.
to get off the grid, yes, and go straight to the rowers that are going to be used for the common, for the common
For
masses. The
the
common folk for the waves for the next day, right? So they pull them down and they run over to there, and Alex and
Stand by.
Sandy run over and they get started on the row, and then the other guys file in fairly quickly. And I would say probably what I would have guessed would have been about 100 meters in, somewhere around there. Sandy stands up off his rower and walks off. And then, you know, it was definitely confusion, but he walks off and heads away, and the announcers say, okay, he's quit. He called it a day. Blah, 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 you know, he's frustrated. Blah, blah, blah. Then later we find out that he went back to the run track, and then when he got done the run, he was at got to the farmer's carry and was disqualified there for skipping the row.
He went and tried to continue.
So this is, yeah, this is what we were told, yes, is that he went back and tried to continue. Now, you can see
Okay.
saying, yeah, go
Is
ahead.
there a rule though where if you skip a station entirely, you have a 10-minute penalty?
No, you're disqualified. If you skip an entire station or skip an entire run, you're DQ'd. That's the rule for that.
Okay.
So, but the thing is, and this is where it gets weird. When you see Sandy posted online and just said he, you know, thanks to some people he was training with and whatever, and he's
That I'm
upset,
going to be
and
careful with my words
I'm gonna be very
and then
careful
thank
with my
these people.
words,
Yeah.
thank people and stuff. And then a lot of people came up to Sandy's support, and I understand that. I get that a lot. My problem and my question is so. Like Sandy puts it as he was disqualified, which he was. Some people in the comments seem to think he quit, which maybe he did. He did. I don't. Anyway, but the story that I'm seeing in some of the comments is, you know, oh well, he was he went he when the rowers didn't work, he went out to the track to run, and then they brought him back and put him on the rower and disqualified him. And that's not what happened. That's not what I saw. And that's not what I've been told. Because if you look at it from the time they left the broken rowers and got onto the rowers that were working, we were talking 5 seconds. You can't get out of the rock zone onto the track and back in 5 seconds. And if they did disqualify him, they would have disqualified Alex Ronkovich for the same thing, which they didn't. So I'm looking at it again, and then them saying, well, he decided to not do the rower so that and just do the run because, you know, he thought that would be better, and then whatever. And I'm not trying to say anything bad about Sandy. It is what it is. I think, you know, he's a good guy. I've met him, he's a nice guy. But he didn't get off that rower with intention of completing that race. He got off, he had some things to say, and he walked away very upset, but at the same time, in no hurry.
Yeah, I mean, you can read his lips with what he said as
What'd
he
he say?
spat on the ground. What's that?
What'd he say?
said, this is bullshit. And then he spit on the ground.
And you know what? I totally get
It
that.
is. It was. I
It was
agree.
bullshit. But it was bullshit that everybody had to deal with.
Yeah. Well, and they did try, they did make it right. And I can't remember. I think he walked away before one of the head judges or someone came up and said to Ronkovich, because you could see him explaining something, and I said, they told him they would give him the time. Because when I saw them get onto the rower, I said, they better give him the time that he lost there. And when they came up to the rowers, they were saying to him, we're going to give you, and they assumed, it was like a minute and something.
It was over a minute. Yeah.
Yeah, that they gave him on taken off of his time when he finished. So Sambok jumped off the rower, I believe, before that was even said to them. So they did make it right.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't make right then, and in that situation, I don't think Sandy gave them enough time to
Well,
like.
exactly. And you would assume that they're gonna make this right. Like, that's what I would think if I was in that situation. Like, that's a pretty big error on their part. And you'd think, and you know that they're gonna do the right thing and make it right.
Yeah, and I would think so too. And the thing that got me too, and this is again, people made comments of you did the right thing. What are you proving by staying in it? Well, it was still race. And there was still money on the line. Why? And you were still solidly in second place. And that was even without them giving you more time off. Why would you walk away from that? I mean, and then to go back out on the track and then get back in. I mean, that's a whole other thing. I don't know what was, I can't pretend to read his mind and understand what was going on there, but it's just a lot of people. Okay. And here's where I'm going to do something weird. A lot of people are coming down on high rocks for this and saying, oh, this is unacceptable and this and that and this and that. You know what? This was fluke bullshit. It crazy crap happens. How many times have we heard in like, a couple times in NHL games, the lights go out in the arena. You know, like crazy crap happens. This one was High Rocks trying to do something to better the sport, and it caused a technical issue that they did not foresee. They were not prepared for. It didn't happen with the women. Everything went well with the women firsthand. And to be perfectly honest, they sorted the damn thing out really fast.
They did, yeah.
Like, if that had happened with a lot of other races, it just would have been shut down and been, okay, we're skipping this. It's no longer part of the race and out you go. They sorted it out super quick. And I mean, I was actually impressed with that. So I'm not going to condemn High Rocks for it. I'm going to take my hat off to them. Like, well done. You know, something went really freaking wrong and you bounced back fast.
Mistakes do happen, and I think this is one of those, as an athlete perspective, take that and kind of learn from it. Because and this wasn't, I think some of it too with Sandbach could have been the mishap earlier, which we didn't talk about. But after the ski erg, they Sandbach and Ronkovich did go the wrong way. And then, although all of the judges were pointing one way and they kind of got confused because they couldn't see the outside, turned back, ran one way, and then ran back again. So there was time loss there too. And that was on them, I believe. And so Sambok could have already been a little bit ticked off that there was already a little bit of a mishap, and maybe his capacity for handling mishaps within a race was already kind of maxed out at that point. And so then this just completely threw him over the edge. So one of the things too as an athlete is realizing that things don't always go perfectly to plan. And with the funny thing too is like within High Rocks and Deca too, because we're in such a controlled environment, you don't necessarily always prepare mentally for what if something goes wrong, because we don't deal with elements. We don't There's a lot of things you don't have to deal with in such a controlled environment, but you're also we're dealing with machinery and electricity and, you know, people error and all that too. So things aren't always perfect. So prepare sometimes how you're going to snap out of it when something doesn't go perfect, and you got to get your head back in the game quickly, because that's sometimes just part of racing too.
Chicago, tornado warning.
Chicago? Right. And then
We
it
were
was
there.
delayed. Right, in the middle of the race.
Were we there for that one?
No, we weren't.
Tara was
And
there.
everybody had to go down to the parking
That's
garage.
right. I remember calling people. I remember calling
Yeah.
people.
And it was for some people, it was in the middle of their race.
I don't think it
Yeah.
was a week, but it was.
Yeah. So these things, crazy shit happens, and you got to bounce back. And yes, it might affect your race, but you got to still do it the best you can and then figure it out afterwards.
Yeah.
And I think eventually, in hindsight, Sandy will feel that way. But right now, probably not.
I don't know.
No, hopefully, I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't
Maybe I
know.
don't. Yeah,
And I
yeah.
mean, there's, I'm not saying, I'm not trying to point a finger here, but there are, I have spoke with, I used to spend time with a sports psychologist when I was in university also, and we spent a lot of time going over the mental preparations for all the things that could go wrong and how are you going to deal with it in a race. And that was part of my pre-race prep, is all the things that could go wrong. And that was with a sport where it's just running. So you're not dealing with eight stations where there's all these other variables also. And that's, maybe if this is a potential in this sport too, sports psychologists isn't necessarily a bad thing. Also, you have your coaches and everybody else, and putting a sports psychologist on your team.
Atkins and Webster are huge. They've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, it could be the game changer for people.
Yeah, it could. There, and again, it might be even more of an advantage for some people over some others, right? Like it just, like I wouldn't want to see Hunter go to the psychologist because I'd feel bad for the psychologist. So it would just go all wrong. Oh, that was fun. Come on. But it's yeah, definitely a sports psychologist can be a good plan for that. I don't know. Anyway, so that was the big drama. Like I said, I don't blame HYROX. I think they did well in handling it. They did everything possibly they could to make it better. And
I agree.
so yeah, so I say good to them. And all this just proves that I've been right the whole time, and machines are a pain in the ass and unreliable and shouldn't be used. It's true. It's true. I don't know. I said it before. If I was designing a race, or if I ever put out a race, there will not be machines in it, because I think they are too. My birth big thing was I think they're just not a calibrated exactly one machine to the other. In sports, that can come down to seconds. You need everything perfect, or whatever, at least as perfect as you can make it. Yeah. This didn't show that, but it did show where they can go wrong.
Yeah.
So I
At
don't know.
least it wasn't worlds.
Yes, and you know what? Now they know that this can happen, and I think I don't expect it ever to happen again. I did get a chance to chat with Mintra a little bit, and yeah, it was a fluke thing that shan't happen again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Other than that, I didn't. I thought the judging was pretty decent. I heard some complaints that they were almost too strict, and that there was too many like warnings. Then some of the athletes, specifically Meg, on their podcast today, I listened, and she's like, "I don't like it when they tell me, you're close, you're close, you're close." She's like, "Just tell me when I'm wrong and tell me when I'm good. Don't tell me close, right? Like it's almost a no rep." She doesn't want to hear that. She just wants to hear it's a no rep when it's a no rep. I mean, so
Okay.
yeah. So like so for example, on the burpee broad jumps, when they were telling her she was close to putting her hands out too far. They were like, "Tighten it up, tighten it up, tighten it up, tighten it up, tighten it up." And so she doesn't like that. She's like, "Just call me when it's a no rep and I'll adjust." And I guess as well with the sled pulls, there was some confusion about can their feet be on the line, not over the line, or do they have to not touch the line? And the line doesn't really go across, so it's hard to see. So they were getting a lot of warnings for that and stuff. I don't know. I'm all in favor of super strict judging. So
Yeah, I saw the judges all over the athletes, so that's great in my opinion.
yeah.
And I didn't see bad reps anywhere.
No, even on the wall balls, which I'm usually pretty critical about, I didn't see a ton that I remember pointing out. And part of it was because they kept that screen across the bottom, so I couldn't see the depth on them. There are still some that, according to the way I read the rules, are still not going to depth, but Hyrox is consistently calling them okay. So maybe I don't understand the rule. I'm going to go with that for now rather than just say they're wrong and say it's me. I don't understand the rule. I can't read it right. But other than that, on the whole, really exciting, really great coverage. They had a trike without camera on it. I mean, that's cool.
Oh, and did you see the stands at the wall balls? We had a double decker stand.
Yeah. Very exciting. I know there wasn't as much spectators as it was in the UK, which kind of takes away from the atmosphere a little bit, but it also made for a better race because there wasn't 8 million people on the course while they were running. And
It was probably one of the best running courses I've ever seen.
yeah.
Rounded edges, it was like a track race.
Yeah. It'll be tough to beat. It was a good race. And DC's only what, a couple weeks away?
3 weeks, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty soon. So that'll be more exciting. Anyway, I think that's it. That's all I got for tonight. You got anything else?
Yeah, I think that about wraps it up for this weekend.
All
So
right.
the
Close
goods
this
and the
down.
bads and everything in between, but we covered it all. So thanks so much, everyone, for listening. I don't know what's going on this weekend, but if you're racing, all the best there. And yeah, thanks again for all your support and keep going out there and crushing it.
And still sign up for Spartan Canada races because we still have Bear and we still have Fidel, so we're okay.
Yeah, and they're still doing an amazing job. They
They
really
are
are.
doing an amazing job. Take care, everyone.